Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm talking with Karen Whiting, who is a speaker and author of 13 books. She's also written for Focus on the Family's Parenting Magazines and Thriving Family. She is a mother of five and loves being creative. And I have to add that I love the two little books that we're looking at. One is called God's Girls Number 1, which is devotion and activities for ages 9 to 12, and God's Girls Number 2, devotions and activities for girls ages 9 to 12. So just setting the stage, describe what each of these books contain.
Both books contain devotions on women in the Bible paired with crafts. Now, book one has 30 crafts and devotions in it, and those are 10 crafts to make to wear, 10 crafts to make to give other people, and 10 crafts to help your spiritual growth. Book two has 10 crafts to help organize your room, your bedroom, and 10 crafts to help decorate your bedroom. But book two also has 9 parties girls can plan and carry out on their own.
Oh, how fun! How fun! Now, it looks like they have, like, this one has like a little memory verse and a little devotional. And I wondered if you would read one of these for us. In our show, Homeschool Companion, we're multi-generational listeners. So we try to have the author read something from their book.
Sure. This one is called God's Love Fills Me with Joy. The memory verse is from Exodus 15:20. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam, Moses and Aaron's sister, sang and led a parade. Why all the celebration, you wonder? Miriam was rejoicing at God's miraculous answer to their prayers. God had freed Miriam and her people from slavery in Egypt. The Israelites prayed for God to deliver them from slavery for 400 years. What a long time to wait for an answer to prayer. When the people were trapped by the mountains and the Egyptian army, God parted the Red Sea for Moses to lead the people across the riverbed on dry land. Now that's a creative answer to prayer. Miriam played a small drum called a timbrel and sang about this victory from God. Do you ever feel like Miriam, so happy that you want to cheer and shout with joy? In Psalm 23, the psalmist was so thankful for what God supplied that he wrote, "My cup overflows." It's fun to celebrate answers to prayer, but it's also easy to forget or overlook them. To help you remember how God answers your prayers, weave a cup of blessings. Fill the cup with your answers to prayer. Weave in jingle bells to shake the cup with joy.
Amen. Amen. You know, I don't think there's enough material for young girls to really reflect. I mean, this gives you an opportunity to reflect on how wonderful you are. As a young girl, God thought about you, and you are wonderful. What prompted your ministry to this age group?
I have two daughters, and I used to do similar things with my own girls. And people used to tell me, oh, you should write books and do what you're doing with your children. And so when my oldest started college and my youngest started preschool, a little bit of a span, I said, well, I have a little more time now that Rebecca's not here. And I started to spend about 45 minutes a day writing and started writing articles and little puzzles and things. And then I met an editor who was looking at doing something for girls. And I said, oh, well, I would combine crafts and pair them with women in the Bible. So that, as you see, as this ended, we were already talking about a cup of blessings. And the craft in this particular unit is on making a blessing cup that you weave. You just take a plastic cup and cut down the strips to make the spokes for your weaving. And then weave the yarn around it. And the directions are all in there.
That's so cool. Well, I want to talk about some more crafts, but before we do that, tell me a little bit about your history. where you came from. I like to weave a picture for the listeners as to who I'm talking to.
Well, I grew up in Connecticut in a little country village where I lived two houses from one grandmother and 5 miles from the other. One was a professional seamstress. The other was sort of a jack of all trades, and I did a lot of crafts with my grandmother's. My next two books for girls even share some stories from my grandmother's in the introduction to the books.
And we do lots of things on grandparents, too, because we think they're so very, very important. And this is a testimony to the fact that they had such an influence on your life.
Yes.
So did you grow up and meet the man of your dreams and live happily ever after? We are always looking for that. We hardly ever find it.
I really did. I knew the Lord from childhood, and when I was in college, I met my husband, who was in the Coast Guard Academy. We got married, and then what I didn't expect, I thought I would grow up and forever live in my own little town, was that we moved from Connecticut to Michigan to Hawaii, New York, Florida, all over, and it seemed like every time we moved, we had another child. So that was fun.
So when did you quit moving?
Actually, what happened was we finally moved back to where we started, to Connecticut at one time. Didn't have one there, and then moved to Florida and had the fifth, because we'd had some years without, so that was kind of funny. And now some of those children are married and have their children.
Oh, so you have more than just two daughters.
I have five children. Yes.
Okay.
Two girls and three boys.
Yeah, so you have a heart for boys, too.
Oh, I love boys. I just really have a great time with them.
I don't know how you could do a boy version of this.
Well, I have one in mind, but no one's wanted to publish it yet. So
boys like to do things too.
Yes, well, a boy's book is a little different in my mind.
They love to do how to do books.
Mm-hmm.
So it maybe might not be a craft and party
book,
but
science and messy food and
yes, glop
and some muscle things. Yes, and jokes.
How to build a weight thing out of how to build weights out of things
right.
You find around the house.
And they don't journal, but they do like a check-off list.
Yes. And even though we don't want to be a stereotyping, anybody who's had both boys and girls realize there's just a difference. God made the differences.
Yes, there are differences, and they're both wonderful. I'm so happy that and so blessed that God gave me both boys and girls.
Yes. What a rich family. So a mother of five. That is fantastic. Now, these books definitely encourage creativity with girls. Did you do that wanting to encourage the creativity, or did you do that because you knew girls are, tend to be more creative at this age?
I wanted to nurture the creativity, among other things. And after each craft, I have a little section of bullet points called sparkling ideas. So once, say, in the one we talked about with Miriam, where there's a cup of blessing that you weave this plastic cup, I have sparkling ideas of try using two colors of yarn, and I give them an idea of how you could do that. Or use white and then fabric paints to put a design on the cup. And lots of different ideas to spark their thoughts. There might be one, there's a little wooden heart you can buy and then make it into an animal pin. And I talk about what other things might you make it into. Doodle on a paper with a heart is the basic thing. And that will give you ideas of other pins you could make on your own. So it's just putting that into them. In fact, in the parties, there's one that's called Celebrate Creativity.
Oh, cool.
And
yes.
That goes into even a quiz on what's your creative bent.
Mm-hmm. And God created us to be creative. He created us in His image. Where can our listeners obtain these? Do you have a website that they can go to?
I have a website. My name, Karen Whiting, KarenWhiting.com. They can go to my publisher, which is LegacyPressKids.com.
Okay, so we'll make sure we put those on the blog.
And they can go to their Christian bookstores. You don't know how many people at ICRS still tell me, oh, we just love your books. We have them in our stores and we're always selling them.
Well, I think it's for a homeschooling family, it's a great resource. And for a Christian teacher, it's a great resource. And for a Sunday school or Sabbath school teacher, it's a great resource because they're all connected to a Bible story. And it wouldn't take much if you have, you know, both boys and girls in your classroom. It wouldn't take much to adapt the crafts to a mixture of boys and girls. You know, it's very good. There's so many ways you can use these. Now, you and other authors from Legacy Press have a blog. Tell me about that blog, Fun Faith for Girls, and it's the number 4, funfaithforgirls.blogspot.com.
Yes, it is. And we post on Tuesdays and Thursdays. There are 4 authors from Legacy Press. We just started this a few months ago. It's brand new, and Legacy Press will even be coming alongside us at times to do contests where we'll have some free books for girls who and moms who want to log on. They can make comments and ask questions. We have one person, because one of her books on fashion and style for girls also includes asking questions that you want answers for, like, you know, sort of the Dear Abby. And you can post those to talk about any topic you want. We have another author who's done some books on the Girl's Guide to the Bible and a Girl's Guide to Being Your Best in Things, where she posts devotions at times. I post little crafts that you can do that are simple and easy that go seasonally with what the month is or if there's an upcoming holiday, and that you can certainly incorporate into what's happening in your own homeschool schedule and bring in the calendar year for your girls.
Well, we're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to talk about party and celebration.
Pediatric stroke is a serious thing. It is the 6th leading cause of death in children. In fact, 1 in 4,000 babies have strokes before, after, or during birth. There are a wide range of effects associated with infant stroke. Some problems include epilepsy and partial blindness on the affected side. Most people don't know that the brain is reversed, meaning that the left side of the brain controls the right side of the body and vice versa. But all in all, they are completely normal. If you see someone with a slight limp and a clenched fist walking down the street, don't look at them weird or feel bad for them. They can still do everything you can do, just with one hand.
This teen topic was written and produced by a student from Highland View Academy. For more information about Highland View Academy, go to www.hva-edu.com.
Well, welcome back. We're talking with Karen Whiting from Legacy Press. We've just gone through 2 of her latest hot off the press books that have a little Bible story. They have craft ideas. One is it's God's Girls, Devotional and Activities, ages 9 to 12, number 1 and number 2. And then we were reviewing about that fun blog that you have, funfaithforgirls.blogspot.com. We were just talking, or just winding up, about party and celebration. And I thought, let's just talk philosophically about that for a moment. There are some that really would think that, you know, the times are so serious in which we live in. How can we, are we not training our girls to neglect something of utmost importance by saying, okay, we want to encourage party and celebration? How do you answer that type of criticism?
One thing built into the parties is there's always a devotional activity. So you can have the party as a witnessing tool to bring your friends over who are not Christians and include that one devotional activity. And we want to do that. But the other thing is, think of how Miriam celebrated after they are escaping from Egypt. Think of how God built in all those feasts in the Old Testament as times to help remember him, and that he dined with his disciples when he had a group of people that were starving. He didn't send them away. He said, sit down. And he had a bread feast for everybody and fish. So I don't think God is opposed to our celebrating, but I certainly think we can use those as teachable moments. And in the case of the girls, they can become teachable moments for their friends and times to celebrate God and what God has done in their lives.
I think that's a great witnessing tool. And I think that a child who has that opportunity, the parents provide that kind of opportunity, will learn more from it than those they're witnessing to. They'll learn so much about God's love, His care, and how blessed they are to be in Christian homes, because I've seen it for myself when this type of witnessing is done from child to child, where that child will open up, that unsaved child or that unchurched child will open up and say to the other child, I wish I had the family you had. I wish I had the happiness you have. So we cannot underestimate this as a witnessing tool. And I'm so glad you brought that up. Now, you have one craft. It's a joy box paired with Abraham's wife, Sarah. Describe that unit and how this devotional activity helps girls enjoy life and stress less.
Right. Well, we can have stress, and there's times that we think our prayer is not being answered. There's things going on in our lives. You know, everyone has somebody that they're praying for who's ill, and, mm-hmm. and things that are happening, and those bad days, girls may be bullied at times. You never know what's going on behind the scenes or in their hearts. So Sarah had years of wanting a child. She didn't have her prayer answered for so long. And when she overheard messengers from God talking to Abraham and saying, your wife will have a baby in a year, she's hiding in the tent, eavesdropping, and she laughs. And then when the Lord says to her, you were laughing. She said, no, I wasn't.
Yes.
He said, but you were. What does she do when she does have that baby a year later? His name is Isaac, which means laughter. She
yes.
hasn't forgotten. God hasn't forgotten.
Yes.
Her prayer is answered, and she finally has cause to laugh and mm-hmm. rejoice. And I think one of the things with this joy box is that's you decorate a box. You can go get a nice wooden box. You can use a shoe box. Doesn't matter, because by the time you decorate it, it's going to be beautiful. And there's some suggestions of how you can decorate that. And one of the things is to put the word joy as part of the decoration on that box. And then you fill it with things that are mementos and memories of joy. Joyful times, pictures of your family, letters, theater tickets, whatever you want to put in there. It might even be a pebble along the beach or a seashell that you've collected from a good time that you had, so that when you have those down times, you're stressed out, you open that up, you take things out, and you remember all the good things that God has blessed you with in your life, because we need to have an attitude of gratitude, a heart full of thanksgiving, because with that, we go out with joy for other people.
Yes. You know, as you're talking, I'm going, this is a good idea for anybody. It doesn't have to be a girl ages 9 to 12.
Right.
We all need to have our joy box.
Yes.
And we need to go and visit it anytime we lose our joy. We need to go back to that box and visit it. Now, how are homeschooled families using these books? We've already touched on this a little bit, but I want to hear in your words how you would see a homeschooling family use this.
They're using it for the arts and crafts section, obviously. But the journaling, because with each story that we have, there's also journaling in it. They use those sometimes as essay prompts for them to take that and you write a whole essay on it instead of just the little journal prompt, and we'll twist that
around.
So
what is a journal prompt? Give me an example of what the journal prompt looks like.
All right, there's one on Elizabeth where she's greeting Mary, and she's pregnant at this time, another woman who waited a long time to have a baby. So one of those things, because one of the activities with that is to make a basket, a fruitful basket, because fruitfulness is mm-hmm. having a baby is equated to that. So baskets remind me of, and they just write that down. Or I was once a baby inside my mother too. I wonder what I did in there, because we talked about
yes.
how John leapt inside of Elizabeth. God saw me, informed me, then I think. So that's just a mm-hmm. sort of prompt to talk about. Another one is, I want to be blessed today. I can show I believe God's word by.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to keep my journaling basket, what they're going to do with this
mm-hmm.
the thing that they're making. So those types of things are prompts. Another way homeschoolers are using it is they understand that this touches various learning styles. There's tactile mm-hmm. learning of touching the things and
yes.
making the crafts, the visual learning of seeing what they did, seeing the artwork in here, the social global craft mm-hmm. because they're interacting with other people through the parties, mm-hmm. because they can interact with their parents and discussing that. There's also an analytical component that not only is there a memory verse that is tied with this, the parents can say, let's look that up in the Bible mm-hmm. and start seeing what it really says in there and get the full story. And so you have that connection you can make and send the children and teach them that once you learn something, that's not the end. You can go research more about mm-hmm. what you've just learned.
Yes. I don't know how many times homeschooling families will contact me and ask me what I recommend for Bible curriculum, because the states don't have any requirement for that. It really is open, and this is a time where a family can use the best of all worlds, whatever they find. They can incorporate this as part of their Bible. It can be incorporated as part of their art. It can be incorporated as part of their English. I think the only thing I haven't seen in there is math.
Which is funny because I'm a mathematician. That's my degree.
Well, maybe in the boys you'll add the math. Well,
my next two books you'll see a little bit because they're on miniature crafts. They'll be coming out within a year, I believe, from okay. Legacy Press. And that does talk about proportion and size. And another component in this book is there's some built-in responsibility. And that's because the section before you start any of the devotions talks about the objects you would need to, and the tools you would use, even the adhesives and glues that you might want to use as you're doing crafts. But it also talks about cleaning up and thinking about how long it might take to do it. And would you be leaving it all on a table, or would you have a craft box to keep even a partially mm-hmm. completed craft in and then come back to that?
Yes.
And the parties build in a similar responsibility.
That is such an important component, because I see so many families, their houses have fallen apart, they're so busy, they don't have time to organize, and the clutter begins to accumulate. And we all like to live in a nice area, so if we can get our children to help us with it, we can live in that nice, clean area. Now, you talked a little bit about the different learning styles. The different learning styles, the multiple intelligence. Is there anything in any of these that deal with music or incorporate music?
Well, the one on that we mentioned on Miriam, of course, talks about the music.
Yes.
And that her singing and dancing joyfully. But otherwise, because it's more geared towards crafts, I would not say that there's more on it that have to do with the music.
I'm just going through all of the intelligence that I know.
Right. The celebrating parties has a little bit more in that. There's a whole party of Celebrate My Feet. It talks about going places to witness with your feet, but there's also dance component in that one.
That's cool. Very nice. Well, we've been talking with Karen Whiting from Legacy Press. Be sure and go and visit her blog at funfaith4, that's the number 4, girls.blogspot.com, or go to legacypresskids.com for her books. And I imagine, are they on Amazon.com as well?
Yes, they are. They're on Amazon.com. They're on ChristianBooks.com.
And let me just read the titles one more time here. It's Devotions and Activities for Ages 9 to 12, God's Girls number 1 and God's Girls number 2. Thank you so much, Karen, for being with us during this half hour. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. We would also like to thank our production staff and the various networks for making this broadcast possible. For more information, go to myhomeschoolcompanion.com. That's myhomeschoolcompanion.com.